Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
The clothing brand Old Navy on Friday launched a virtual Santa boot camp to train mall Santas on how to deal with outrageous gift requests like gas.
Gas is expensive, you see.
I just said gasoline in that punchline. Gas is like, you mean intestinal gas? Oh, like gas for my car.
I just saw it's a record high national average for gas at $3.40. If you're in California, if you had a station that had 340 gas, you'd have a line 6,000 cars long waiting to fill up.
Yeah.
That's the national average high. And no, and nobody says anything about it. Nobody says, hey, wait a second, how come our gas is $2 more than the rest of the country? Well, because of taxes that are wasted on all kinds of crap. Anywho, I just came across this poll about Black Friday. Most Americans still believe in Black Friday, whatever that means. And dislike the month-long sales.
I believe in Black Friday, Jack. Don't you? Isn't that how you get on the Polar Express? By clicking your heels three times and saying, I believe in Black Friday. It's been a while since I've read the book. Maybe I'm misremembering.
I feel like we got to do our little Black Friday speech. Does everybody...
Are you talking about us or the king? The king of Black Friday.
Well, the king of Black Friday. We always like the king of Black Friday. Yeah, he waited in line at Best Buy. Is that what he did? They're looking for that.
How could that be missing?
I don't know. I'll never understand.
I would like to find that person.
I know.
And I will take their head.
I
will squeeze it in a vice.
Yes, I don't know.
Yes, either. I will.
I don't know how that happens either. So Black Friday is now like a month of people claiming there are Black Friday deals. Whatever the freak that means, it's just pre-Christmas sales. It's the same thing that's... always has and always will happen.
Jack, you know, Black Friday was the day when retailers would actually be in the black for the year traditionally because of Christmas shopping. Blah, blah, blah. It was never true. It was never true. It's like Kyle Rittenhouse is a militia member. There was never a shred of truth to it.
So the whole Black Friday thing was never really true to begin with, and now it's even sillier than it ever has been, to be followed up by, in a few days, the dumbest of all things, Cyber Monday.
Yes, it makes the dumbness of Black Friday look like non-dumbness.
Because people shop at work because they have better internet speeds at work.
Well, if they have any internet at all at home.
Which is why people shop online on Cyber Monday. Who has got better internet at work than they have at home? Anybody? I don't think so.
Not me.
I know. Whatever. The people still believe in Black Friday. I don't even know where to start with it. I don't even know what that means.
Do you believe in Black Friday?
If you see a price you like, buy it. If you don't, wait. I don't know. Do whatever you want.
I don't care. Do whatever you want. Buy magic beans on your way to sell your cow. I don't care.
I didn't think it was interesting, though. A third of shoppers who were interviewed for this Black Friday survey, a third want stores to mandate masks, and half want them to, was it half? No, it was 28% want them to continue to limit the number of customers in the store. Huh. I have run into that recently. I don't shop there. I go somewhere else. Sorry, store. If there's a line because you're only allowing so many people in, I ain't buying nothing there. No way. That's ridiculous.
Boy, and a third of people want a mask mandate? I see that, and at the very least, I say, are you blanking kidding me?
I know.
And if I have to go in, I will. Generally, I have to go back to my car because it never even occurs to me to have a mask in my pocket.
In all those stores I go to, it's absolutely you have to wear a mask. Not even
that's
a thought.
That's because
not.
You live in a liberal enclave.
Yeah, there was like a
liberal
2-week period where you didn't have to wear a mask in my county. And it was so freeing and everything like that last summer, but it went away quickly. I don't know when it'll come back. But the whole, you only have so many people in the store. Oh, whatever. What the hell ever? This is the Nike outlet yesterday, and they got a special line. They've got these cones up and everything, so people will walk in this door and out that door to whatever.
Because you can't pass somebody in the blink of an eye. Because of course the CDC says a significant encounter is like within 4 feet for 15 minutes. So, well, wait a minute. Now, hold on. This makes no sense whatsoever. It's like a superstitious ritual in the year 1300, and yet it endures. And for how long? Where are the guidelines for how long this lasts? Is it about cases? Is it about hospitalizations? Is it about deaths? What is it about, friends?
Well, right.
Please tell me, and I will obey your ever-wise dictates.
So that's the interesting thing about emergency powers. And this has been true for thousands of years, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about Mubarak in Egypt, or probably Caesar in Rome, or Gavin Newsom in California. You enact these emergency powers, and then guess what? There's no criteria for when you lift them. There's a school-wide mask mandate in California and lots of states. Every kid has to wear a mask in school. It's the law. What's the criteria for lifting that?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Yeah. There isn't one. They haven't come up with one.
That's funny. It was probably a week and a half ago. I was reading a couple of things about how in most European countries, they're not having the kids wear masks at all. They'd completely gone away from that because there's no need for it. There's no use in it. But now the story this week is that all the Euro countries are locking down like crazy. Some of them, you can't leave your damn house if you haven't vaccinated. They've just gone completely the other direction. So it's just so haphazard. And then, you know, the other thing is the really hard hit states right now in the U.S. And there was only one I could come across that I think is having any sort of concern about the hospitals being overrun. And that's Minnesota. But it's a bunch of northern blue states that have been super lockdowny. OK, now they're getting hammered. And how it hasn't occurred to humanity at this point. It comes and it goes. It goes and it comes. You lock down for a while. You think you're ahead of it. Then all of a sudden it washes over you. I don't care where you are. This bastard is going to be with us for the end of time. I'm hoping it mutates to be less deadly, and so it's just an annoyance. But this is, oh, Lord help me, the new normal. Deal with it. Figure out what sort of life you want in this context. Quit talking about emergency powers. It's not an emergency. It's the way it is. Thanks, China, by the way. And or bats of louse, which we haven't gotten to yet.
No, we haven't. There's a new theory on where the whole thing may have started.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing for my new, well, we're kind of bluegrass metal. We play metal songs, bluegrass instruments. We call ourselves the Bats of Louse. Well, we used to. We can't anymore.
Michael, can you play clip 71 while we're on the topic? Because I found this pretty darned interesting.
Another report that's just come out in the journal Science suggests that the original WHO investigation into the origins of COVID was fundamentally flawed chronologically, and that many of those early cases had nothing to do with the Wuhan wet market, which is the narrative China was pushing for so long. And what that suggests is that patient zero is still a long way from being found, and the lab leak theory remains a very real possibility.
Yeah. So there's that. Yeah. So we're a long freaking way from figuring out who patient zero is.
Yeah, yeah. And give me 70, Michael. Come on, come on.
In a cave 1,000 miles from Wuhan lives a colony of bats carrying a coronavirus 97% genetically identical to the virus now responsible for killing millions of people. But nothing had connected these bats to the Wuhan Institute of Virology until now. Based on U.S. government documents released under Freedom of Information Act, viral samples from those bats were being collected and sent to the Wuhan lab to study right up until a few months before the pandemic began. A direct link between the two.
Are we taking questions? I have a question. Why did it take a Freedom of Information Act inquiry to get this information? Because some bureaucrat was covering her ass, no doubt.
Yeah. We're a long way from figuring out, we'll probably never know what went on in China.
Don't trust China!
If they collapse like the Soviet Union did, there's a possibility that we get access to some archives or something like that years from now.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll probably never know what's going on in China. I worry that we'll never find out what was going on with Fauci and,
Daszak
and others, and to what level we were funding this and knew what was going on and hit it and all that sort of stuff. That's crazy troubling. I hope we get to the bottom of it. And then finally, have this discussion as Americans, as a country. Do we think it's a good idea to continue to do this? To make really scary, dangerous viruses so we can study them? Because it looks like, while it seems like a good theory, we don't have the ability to contain them.
Yeah. One final comment on that story. They mentioned that the virus from the Laotian caves, 97% genetically similar. I have no idea if that's close or not in the world of virology.
I don't either.
I remember hearing that chimpanzees are like 98.8% the same as humans, or 99% or whatever it is. It's just that very last bit that, I'm not nearly as hairy as most chimps. Hairier than some.
Well, one of
my
them,
feet don't function as hands.
One of you, I mean, you can vote, but you have to get a job. The other one, you can just sit around and eat bananas all day long, picking nits.
You get angry at somebody, you chuck your feces at them.
Difference of 1%.
Right. Right. I'm a 1%er. I guess. At least in the primate world.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Are you tired of gulping down the lying filth of the mainstream media? Yeah, we are too. We try to tell you the truth every single day.
Gulping down lying filth. Wow.
Nobody wants to sound dumb. Our goal is to help you not sound dumb. We'll inform you, and it'll be fun at the same time. You have to choose between entertainment and information. Combine them both with the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty On Demand. 4 episodes available every day via the iHeartRadio app or wherever you download your podcasts.
The CDC is back at it, so they determine whether or not your tenant has to pay rent or not. They also determine what language we're supposed to use now. They've got new suggestions for language that they're sending out to all healthcare, everything. Lots of words like equity, inclusive, intersectional, diversity, that sort of stuff.
Oh, boy, the critical theorists are on the march.
Many of the suggestions from the CDC, which is supposed to deal with diseases, but they recommend switching from calling someone a prisoner or a criminal or an inmate to using softer descriptive words such as people who are incarcerated or detained.
The CDC?
This is from the CDC. The CDC says anyone who is disabled should be referred to as people with disabilities. How do you think you've moved the ball down the field toward good by making those kinds of changes? But some of this stuff I think does harm. Drug addicts should now be referred to as persons with substance use disorder. uninsured people should be referred to as people who are medically underserved. Why?
Oh, for goodness
sakes. I'm uninsured or I'm insured. If you call me uninsured, it doesn't do any damage.
It's amazing how consistently this stuff moves from clarity to obfuscation, to fuzziness. And from, like, active words everybody understands to long jargony phrases in the passive voice, if you're into the language.
I don't understand why the CDC feels they need to get into this at all, but... other suggested changes include avoiding referring to people as their race or ethnicity, such as blacks, Hispanics, and whites, instead start using racial groups such as black persons, Hispanic persons, and white persons. Okay. Latinx has been proposed, even though, as Joe brought us last week, Hispanic people either have not heard of it or don't like it. But white...
It's a tiny, tiny percentage of Hispanic people who have any interest in the term.
But white grad school kids are going to tell Hispanic people what they should be called, whether they like it or not, which...
And how stupid their language is. Silly, silly brown people. We'll educate you.
On the political side, the CDC instructs healthcare workers to avoid using illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, foreigners, or any term that alludes to the criminality of illegally crossing the border, even though it is a crime to cross the border. I threw that in. Suggested instead are terms like people with undocumented status or non-U.S. citizens.
Oh, people with undocumented status.
There's also a strong emphasis from the CDC on biological sex terms. So they're telling doctors and nurses, for instance, if you were going to refer to my son, you wouldn't say, how's he doing? You'd say, how are they doing? You don't want to assign a gender to someone with a he or a she.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
That's what the CDC is telling doctors. Now, not how to treat a disease right here, but to not refer to him or her.
The Centers for Thought Control.
How's your mom doing? She doing okay? Last time I saw her. No.
How dare you?
How dare you? She's a birthing person who chest fed me, and she's a they.
Oh, these people are so clownish, and yet their doctrines are being spread through the schools.
Wow. Consider using terms that are inclusive of all gender identities for parents to be and expectant parents. Wow. So the whole going in to find out the gender of your baby, which was its own kind of controversial thing when the science got to where it could do that, now it's going back the other direction where they don't worry, they're not going to, they can't look at, I had never even thought about this, but clearly this needs to go away, and the CDC's jumping into it. You can't have doctors or nurses doing that little thing where they put it on the belly and say,
wait a minute, I'm getting a really good image. I'm getting a good image. Oh, is it a boy or a girl? Oh, they am a baby. But is it a boy baby or
they am a
it
baby.
Am them are babyhood embodied.
I guess you'd say
it's got a penis or what?
I guess you'd say they have a penis. You wouldn't want to say he has a penis.
It's a penised human. A boy. No, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm turning off the machine. Click.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that, but clearly that's the next step. And the CDC, this freaking CDC, this is the federal government recommending this. And then finally on their website, it now says, to build a healthier America for all, we must confront the systems and policies that have resulted in the generational injustice that has given rise to health inequities.
Of calling a boy a boy. You people have lost your freaking minds.
You're crazy. You people are crazy. But you seem kind of like you might be winning the day. I hope not. I mean, they're the ones in charge of the CDC right now.
They're the ones in charge of the schools where our little children are getting indoctrinated every single day. And moms and dads, I'm sorry. Birthing people and sperm donors, you need to be asking them that are childs, people who identify as childs, what are they teaching you at school these days about white people and black people? What are they teaching you? Do you ever hear the word equity? Ask your kids these things, because I guarantee you, if they are in public schools, there's a very good chance they're getting indoctrinated.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
On a personal privilege.
Don't get brazen with me.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So we got on the topic of presidential heights for some reason during the Armstrong and Getty Show today.
Well, yeah, I was fantasizing about James Madison returning from the dead and hacking up people around the Capitol. And no, Secret Service, you don't need to come see me. It's a spinning in the grave type reference.
And then
we were talking about how physically diminutive James Madison was and how he probably wouldn't really get very far.
Not only was he our shortest president at 5'4", James Madison was our lightest president. I now have the weight. So we went through the tallest presidents, Lincoln the tallest, then LBJ, then Trump. Those are your top three. Your shortest presidents were James Madison, Benjamin Harrison, Martin Van Buren, 5'4", 5'6", 5'6". But anyway, so they got the weights. I don't know how they came up with these. And also the BMIs based on the heights and weights.
There you go.
Everybody, I think, knows who's a fan of presidential history knows William Howard Taft was our biggest president. He was 332. He had a BMI of 42.3. That's a high BMI.
Yeah, it is. I'm not real up on BMIs, but it's got to be.
Anything over 29 is considered obese.
Shut up.
I know, and it's dumb. And to get down to not being obese, you have to be freaking skinny.
Yeah.
On the BMI chart. So I'll leave the BMI alone then, but.
Well, doesn't matter. But Taft, known for being fat, better than being known for heading up all three branches of government. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and President Pro Tem of the Senate, right?
I didn't know the third one there. I knew he was in the Supreme Court, but...
He was a senator anyway. If I'm wrong, sue me.
Didn't know Grover Cleveland was a big old boy.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I can picture him. Big old mustache, big old fat face.
275.
Woo.
Back at a time when everybody wasn't 275, where half your friends were not 275 or dang close. I mean, you would have stood out at 275 back then. McKinley was 233. Taylor, 230. Man, we went through a period of time there, mid-late 1800s, where we were electing some big old boys.
Now, Zachary Taylor, I picture him being kind of thin-faced. But he's a big boy, huh? He just didn't gain weight on his face, I guess. Was Grover Cleveland the one that was reputed to be, he'd prefer to date fellas?
I don't think so. I don't think that's him.
No, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Was it Hoover?
Oh, it was whoever it was. It was somebody around the time of Andrew Jackson, because he made the reference to Aunt Nancy and Miss Fancy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember who that was, though.
So,
it doesn't matter.
Teddy Roosevelt, 237.
Another fat boy.
Pretty big guy.
I hope he had a fat, big old horse to ride him around.
Trump, they got at 245.
I believe it.
Chester A. Arthur, 238. Man, we had some big presidents back in the day. Clinton's 234. Clinton was a big old fat boy. Still, well, he got skinny after his heart attack, right?
How tall a guy was Clinton?
6'2", I think. I just looked that up.
I tell you what.
Yeah, 6'2".
You add another inch or two of height to the same fat guy. That's a lot. I mean, like, I'm about 5'10 at this point. If I were 6 foot, I would probably weigh at my current weight. I'm about 200 pounds right now. I'd probably be 215, 220, don't you think?
Yeah, height adds a lot of weight, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
What do you mean at this point? Are you shrinking?
Yeah, I used to be 5'11.
You've shrunk an entire inch?
Well,
that's not possible.
Well, now, remember, it can be a tenth of an inch, and, you know, you're no longer 5'11". But no, it's a significant amount. Yeah. Are you sure you haven't?
I'm absolutely pretty positive. I know exactly how much I've shrunk because I had myself laser measured for chemotherapy.
Oh, that's right.
And I had I'd been calling myself 6'1" my whole life, but I was really 6'3".
Ah.
Hyperbole. So if I had any shoes on whatsoever, I was 6'1". But I'm 6'1¼" now, so I've lost a half an inch.
Yeah, I've never been laser measured, so I couldn't tell you that. I just know for my entire life going to the doctor, they'd say 5'11", blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they started saying 5'10".
Huh.
I said, wait a minute, I'm no James Madison over here. Let me see that thing.
Yeah, Ground down by life, is that it?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. And you just compressed. My vertebrae are compressed, and just my feet are flat, and my hips are wore out.
Is it gravity that just pulls us down?
Well, more or less, yeah, yeah.
So if you hung upside down to sleep at night, would you get taller?
Like a bat?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I've actually considered getting those. What do you call them? The tables that tip you back and you kind of hang upside downish, inversion tables.
To do what?
Just to spend a certain amount of time a day on them. It's supposed to be good for your back. Stretches out the muscles and takes pressure off the discs and stuff.
How tall are you, Michael?
5'8".
5'8"?
Yeah.
You'd tower over James Madison. Please.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to look you in the eye, he'd be looking you in the nipples. Father of the Constitution.
You'd walk up to him and do that whole thing, and what's that on your shirt? And then hit him in the chin with your finger. Because you're 5'8 and he's 5'4. Because that's what you do to people who are shorter than you, don't you know?
Yeah, Victimize them.
I would love to be taller.
You would?
Yeah.
How do you think that would have affected your life if you were taller in any way? Outside of, like, once you get past high school, would there have been any advantage to being 5'10 as opposed to 5'8?
I do think if you're taller, you're more confident.
Huh.
Definitely.
That could be. Plus, the percentage of women who will not date a man shorter than them is significant.
5'8's tall enough, though. There aren't that many dames out there taller than 5'8".
Well, maybe Michael's dreamed of dating giantesses. I think you're being dismissive of his pain. I don't appreciate it.
Giantesses. Ah, boy. I'll wrap
up here. I wish Donald J. Trump, LBJ, or Abe Lincoln were here to whoop your ass.
Our slimmest presidents by BMI, which that part about BMI is it does combine height and weight.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy was only at 22.6 at 182 pounds because he was over 6 foot tall.
That's interesting. He was also ill with quite a few maladies.
Mm-hmm. Barack Obama, thin, 180. TJ.
Obama!
Thomas Jefferson. Chasing those slaves around will keep the weight off. He's 181.
Oh, boy. Always with the slaves. You got to get to Link. I got to believe Lincoln, his height, because he was thin as a beanpole.
Lincoln at 6'4", 185. That's a thin dude.
Yeah.
Coolidge, Light,
166. William Henry Harrison, 162. You get down to these weights in the modern world, you don't know any dudes who are 160 in the modern world.
Not many, no. No, indeed.
Coolidge, 160s. Harrison, 160s. Franklin Pierce in the 160s. John Tyler in the 160s. Andrew Jackson, who was a badass, was 154.
Ain't the size of the dog in the fight, Jack, right? Dot, nope. Dot, dot.
And the lightest was the shortest. James Madison, I could have wrestled him in high school because I was small myself. 122.
Wow. That's a little fella.
That is a little fella. You could just put him in your pocket and carry him around and ask him questions about the Commerce Clause or whatever you want to do.
I'm pretty certain I was that big as a 12-year-old.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wrestled at 103 as a freshman in high school. 117, I think, as a sophomore.
Wow.
And then I think my junior year I was like 120.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was very, very slim.
Teeny little feller.
Hey, yes,
did you read American Lion, the book about Andrew Jackson?
I did, by John Meacham. Pulitzer
Prize
winner.
I read the whole thing. I hated it. No lions, not even one.
you read it? I'm down to the last page. There hasn't been a lion yet.
Jackson fight the lion?
Better be a lion on this last page. Nope, no lions.
But it was something, man. His childhood, starving poor. Virtually nobody to look out for him as a kid. He fought his way through life. I mean, like serious bloody fighting. And then as soon as it was time for swordplay, he'd go to hacking people or they'd hack him. He was just, his life, it made Joe Biden and his bent, rusty straight razors look like, the chess club.
Right. And my favorite quote from Andrew Jackson, any regrets about your presidency? Yes, I regret that I did not kill John Calhoun, who was his vice president.
Now that's a quote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Shoot it and I suffer depression.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We have a fair amount in the sound fridge. What should we do with it? I don't know. Clean it out?
Cleaning out the sound fridge.
I think we should tease something to keep people through the podcast.
Sure.
We'll
if you want.
End with new song from Springsteen and John Mellencamp together. I don't think they've ever collaborated.
Wow.
In fact, I don't know this. Maybe you know it, Joe. I would have guessed that Springsteen didn't dig Mellencamp as kind of a wannabe him. I would have guessed, but I don't know. I don't know that.
That's an interesting thought. Never considered that. The guy who actually really turned me on to Bruce Springsteen in my youth was also a big John Mellencamp fan.
Okay.
At the time.
Johnny Cougar at the time.
That's right. Ridiculous. And he hated that stage name.
Hey, guys, in an interview, Springsteen said he really likes Mellencamp. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then, see, I made a horrible assumption. We'll play
there's a lot to like.
We'll play a little of that song from the old couple of old men coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah, first, this is an odd story. Is it self-explanatory, Michael? Clip number four?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's play it.
Popped the hood, caught a squirrel red-handed right down here snacking on these wires. They told me that because the wires were chewed so close to the firewall, they had no option but to replace the entire wiring harness in the truck.
It went from oil-based to soybean-based. Well, it is great for the environment, so great, of course, that animals are attracted to that soybean-based insulation, so they chew through it.
Wow, so automotive wiring is now the insulation is soybean-based.
How long has it been that way?
Wow.
It's mostly new cars, but okay. I guess it's for environmental reasons.
Well, I've had problems with rodents anyway. Well, that's a squirrel, right? That squirrel's a rodent?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I've had a problem with rats eating out wiring.
They're rats with fancier tails.
I've had a number of cars destroyed by rats before they went soybean based, so that's not going to help. Yeah, I mean, if you leave a car parked for very long, rats will eat up the wires. Always remember that.
It's weird. Hey, that we didn't do that Fallon new Bachelor host joke, did we?
No. I like the sound of that. There's a new seasonette of The Bachelor. Okay.
Some entertainment news: ABC has named Jesse Palmer as the new host of The Bachelor. Yeah, today Jesse said, I've dreamed about this job ever since I found out how much it paid. Yep, Jesse Palmer is the new Bachelor host, but before he got hired, he and all the other candidates had to fill out an application, and the questions they asked were pretty interesting. For instance, potential Bachelor hosts were asked, can you tell the difference between six different women named Lauren? Next up, do you have the stamina to work 7 minutes a week? Next up, are you comfortable putting crying drunk people in the back of a limo to the airport? And finally, have you ever sat next to a screaming bachelorette party and thought, I want to do this for a living? See, these are smart questions for The Bachelor.
So, the old host of The Bachelor got run out over some, like, innocuous, to me, comment. But he was.
Yeah, it doesn't even stand out. I read about the story, but I can't remember what he said. It was
a minor thing.
Yeah.
It had to do with race. That doesn't matter. It was a nothing burger.
Disapproving enough. That was all it was.
Yep.
The old somebody laughed and he didn't, or he didn't tell them. I condemn that attempted humor.
Yeah, he got Billy Bushed is what's happened. He was there when something happened that people didn't approve of, and he didn't stand up forcefully enough, and he lost one of the best gigs in show business over it.
Yeah. I'm scanning the list. You know, I hate to give Matt Gaetz any air. He was grilling the General Milley in front of Congress. He's so obviously trying to distract people from the fact that he's rapey.
He's
grandstanding like crazy.
And technically he's rapey because he's having sex with underage girls, allegedly.
Yeah.
And that is rape no matter what.
He's traveling to different
states where it was legal, right?
Well, or he would be in a state where it's not legal to have sex with a 17-year-old. He was in a state where it was legal, and he would have girls brought in from where it's not legal so he could, strip them, lawfully in that state.
Wow.
Yeah. 17-year-olds.
Allegedly.
So, no, we won't play that clip.
Okay. That's a heck of a noise. Do you have restless anal syndrome?
I don't know, but it's time we talk openly about restless anus syndrome. Anyway, speaking of musical sensations, shall we get to the new Bruce / John Mellencamp song? Let's dig it. It's called Wasted Days. I'm told it's a little depressing.
How can a man watch his life go down the drain? How many moments has he lost today? And how among us could ever see it clear? The end is coming, it's almost here.
Whoa.
Wasted days.
Almost here from a couple of old men.
Hot new genre, dying old guy rock.
Now, Bruce Springsteen and John Mellencamp could get together and do anything, and I would probably like the sound of it. Mm-hmm. But, geez, what's with the lyrics? If you heard two old guys saying that sort of stuff sitting on the porch, like if my dad and a friend of his were sitting on the porch saying, oh, you can see the end. It's almost here. The wasted days. I think, whoa, geez, cheer up.
Wow. Yeah, make the most of these. Coming up, we'll play an excerpt from One Foot in the Grave by Mick Jagger and Charlie what's that? By Mick Jagger. Too late. Yikes.
Then we've got What's the Point of This from Don Henley. Another good song.
I've Wasted My Entire Life by Bob Seger.
Mm. Another giant hit from Who's an Aging Star? Can't have one pop into my head. They all age. Yeah, Bob Seger's a good one. Fleetwood Mac out with My Health is Failing Me. That's another good hit.
I can hear the hot breath. Here, you don't hear hot breath. I can smell the hot breath of the Grim Reaper. By, I don't know, insert the recording artist of your choice.
Yeah, I wish I could think of more older, aging rockers just to continue the gag going.
But you got to make sure they're still about Paul right. McCartney.
I was going to say Tom Petty, could be, he's dead. Yeah. Paul McCartney with I'm in Constant Pain. That's his new hit.
Jesus, that's too much now.
Well, so
you suck.
So was John
Boo!
Mellencamp saying,
Boo!
I can see the end, it's almost here. What the hell is that?
Depressing.
He had a song on his last album. It was a great tune, but it was the same vibe of everything I try to do now comes to nothing. I was just like, oh, dude. And then I compared
Try bird watching.
And then I compared it, and it's just, you know, this is probably true for a lot of old people. I compared it to John Prine, one of my musical heroes, who unfortunately died of COVID last year. But he is an old man, too, and he just put out an album about, you know, how much fun he was having as an old guy and the things he plans to do in heaven when he dies, which is just a fantastic. When I get to heaven, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I mean, it was like up tempo and he's still enjoying himself. And then you got the John Mellencamp, Bruce Springsteen. Life's almost over. What's the point? I can see the end.
I wasted my days. Yeah. All of them are.
So is that just the two sides of the coin of being old? You might go one way, you might go the other. Maybe you feel different ways, different days. I don't know. I'm not that old yet, so thank God.
Yeah, there's probably some of that. And I'm just finding this really depressing.
One Foot in the Grave.
Should end it on the Grim Reaper joke.
What did you call it? Old.
Dying old guy rock.
I don't know if that's going to be a genre. It might end up being a genre with all the musicians, all the most biggest musicians of back when you could make a gazillion dollars becoming a musician.
Right.
As they all get to the very end, maybe they're all going to put out songs like this. Medicare won't cover my new crutches. You know, whatever.
I'm trying to think of, let's see, what would Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin's song be?
Robert Plant's got a new album out with Alison Krauss. They're doing another one of those. Supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah, interesting. Sometimes you combine odd ingredients and it's disgusting. Sometimes it's fabulous.
Old dying guy rock. See if the Sirius Channel has one of those.
Armstrong and Getty.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.